Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to your Jefferson County Commissioners Court meeting for Tuesday, December 6, 2022. We'll begin our meeting today with an invocation led by Commissioner Senegal, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance led by Commissioner Pierce. If you don't mind rising.
Heavenly Father, again we thank you. Thank you for this season that's upon us. We thank you for blessing us through another year. And we thank you for all the employees and staff of Jefferson County. We ask that you give us your divine wisdom in disseminating the business of Jefferson County, protecting each of our families and each of us. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Please join me in the pledge to our great nation. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you.
All right. Well, we're meeting at a little bit different time today than we ordinarily do, and unfortunately, Commissioners Alford and Bush had plans that could not be changed, so we'll miss them today. We appreciate each of you being here, and we're going to take a few items out of order. First is under County Auditor to receive an update from Ms. Vivian Blue with Legacy Community Development Corporation regarding the county's emergency rental assistance program number 2 and other grant opportunities. Do I have a motion on that item?
So moved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it unanimously. Ms. Blue, would you like to come up to the lectern?
Hi, good afternoon. I'd just like to thank you guys for this opportunity to update the court on the status of the ERAP 2 program. I'll begin with just a brief history of the program. Jefferson County's initial allocation was slightly over $6 million. This allocation was reduced to $4.8 million in the first quarter. Legacy's program actually kicked off in June on the 13th. On that date, that week, we received over 2,700 requests for assistance. Then in October, we were able to recapture $902,185 in funds that were previously lost to increase the allocation to $5.1 million. Legacy has also submitted a request to the Treasury for an additional $2.5 million, which is still pending, and we may not hear back until June on any additional funds. To date, we've received 5,443 applications, of which 1,374 were incomplete. We received 1,059 duplicates. We received 1,246 that were complete and able to be processed. Of that 1,246, we've assigned 1,165 to case managers. We've denied 549 cases for various reasons, and 52 applicants withdrew from the program. To date, we have closed 826 cases and provided $3.2 million in direct assistance, of which 695 was for rent only and 131 was for utilities only. In partnership with the JP Courts, we've provided eviction diversion services to over 386 applicants. On the back of the report that I've given you, there's a breakdown of the denials. The bulk of denials was based on incomplete applications or applicant responsiveness. Another 20% of those were due to landlords' refusal to participate. But to date, we've dispersed or spent over $3.9 million and have a balance of $1.1 million at this point. We are hopeful that we will receive an additional $2.5 million maybe in the summer to continue the program. But at this point, we are down to about the $1.1 million. And we may come back at some point to ask to close the portal to additional applicants.
Commissioners, do y'all have any questions?
When the landlords refuse, do not respond, they can't apply, come back and apply for the funding, right?
With a different tenant?
No, the same tenant that they refusing to allow to stay on the property.
Once you're denied, the process is to start again, so that tenant would have to reapply. So normally, we would reach out to the landlord and try to, you know, get an explanation or try to help them move through the process. But there's many landlords who did not want to do the W-9, or they just wanted the tenant to move out.
Yes.
So we couldn't force them, but so some of the tenants, in those situations where if they had to move out, we would refer them to our ERAP 2 program, which would allow them to move into a new unit, and we could help them with deposits.
Yeah.
I think you were going to talk about another grant opportunity potentially related to property tax payments.
Yes, sir. We also have the new program, which is called the Homeowners Assistance Fund. This program allows us to assist homeowners who have been impacted by COVID with up to $65,000 worth of assistance. We can assist with back mortgage payments, back taxes, all the way back to 2016. So anyone that's on a payment plan, we can help them with that. Utilities, even insurance, if they're behind on their insurance or have lost insurance because of COVID. We're able to help them get that back. We can help with HOA fees. So this is a new program that we've implemented, and we do have an office here in Beaumont. We have some in the foundation building.
Have you already received an allocation of funding?
Basically, we don't receive an allocation. We're an intake center for the state, so we actually help the applicants fill out the application. We bring them in one-on-one, help them fill out the application, upload it to the state, and so we don't receive an allocation. We're just assisting them in getting applications.
Is it an ARPA program?
Yes, it's a federal treasury program.
Okay. How's it being advertised?
I think we had a television interview this week. I think it ran yesterday morning on the Today Show or the morning show. And we've done newspaper. Even the state, TDHCA, is advertising for us. So we've been putting out there, and we have some radio ads coming up. So this program just began in November, and we have a one-year contract to help with that. And it's a great program for those. I know we had been focusing so much on renters. This is an opportunity for homeowners to get some help.
Can you make sure you put up signs at the three tax offices to make sure that people that are going into the tax office with respect to property tax payments are aware of the program?
Yes, and we've connected with the county tax assessor here and also Linebarger. So they're working with us. We cover 8 counties, and just so happened they probably cover about 5 of those counties themselves. So we are connected with Linebarger to try to help people who are behind on their taxes.
Wonderful.
We can help them get that posted on the
county. Okay, great.
Yeah. Help me. Yes, sir. Is there an LMI component to this?
Yes, but it's... For Jefferson County, the average income is $90,000 a year. So most of the clients that we're seeing qualify. We're not using the 80 to 20%. It's using a state level income. And it's about $90,000 is the average. So it's way above what we would normally.
Wow, that's pretty high.
Yeah, so I would encourage anyone to apply and not, you know, sort of self-disqualify yourself and let us look at it. But the average has been $90,000 a year. Yeah,
that's good.
You have a grand opening coming, right? When is that?
Yes, we have a ribbon cutting at our Port Arthur office. We actually moved in February, but because of the rental program, we just sort of hit the ground running, and we didn't have an opportunity to have an open house. But it's also Christmas. That building we purchased after Hurricane Harvey, and have been peeking at it for the last 5 years to get it renovated. So we're really proud to have an office. And just in time for the rental program where we jumped from 6 employees to 26 employees to operate the rental program.
What's that address?
3800 Park Lane, Port Arthur.
And that will be tomorrow?
11 a.m. next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Anything else, Ms. Ballou?
We'll be in court.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's like
it's all day. We're open all the open houses all day. The ribbon cutting is at 11 a.m.
Okay, can I ask one more question? Is there a way you could send us like an email about this new program for the homeowners?
Yes.
That, and where people can do that, we could forward it on to others?
Yes, I would.
So this spoke.
Right now, the phone number that people in Jefferson County can call is 409-433-8283. And it's anyone in Texas.
433-8283.
Mm-hmm. And anyone in Texas can call any intake center. So it's not limited to Jefferson County. So if you know someone or if you're living outside of the county, you can call any one of our intake offices.
Yeah, I'd like to take your email and forward it on like the mayors and such in my precinct.
Sir. Yes, sir. And it's on our website also.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so very much, Ms. Blue. Anything else you'd like to bring to our attention?
No, I think that's enough for today.
Okay, well, we appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. All right. Under County Commissioners, item B is to receive a presentation from Mr. Eric Zimmerman, District Extension Administrator for Texas A&M AgriLife Extension, to introduce and approve the appointment of Rebecca Carpenter as the finalist for the 4-H position of the Texas AgriLife Extension Office. Do I have a motion on that item?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Mr. Zimmerman?
Judge, Commissioners, certainly a pleasure to be here again to introduce our finalist that's going to be assuming the role of the County Extension Agent for 4-H and Youth Development here in Jefferson County. As everyone knows, Starla Garlick was our employee in that position for a little over 23 years. And so a long tenure in Jefferson County serving the youth of Jefferson County, and certainly as an agency, we felt it was a very high priority to fill this position, not only to fill it, but to fill it with the right person. And I think we did move a little slower on this one. We've got a really outstanding candidate with Mrs. Carpenter. Again, she's a graduate of Texas A&M University with a wildlife ecology and management degree. And then she also received her Master of Science in Animal Science from Saul Ross State University. So a wide variety of diversity in terms of her education. She's been serving as a school teacher for the past 14 years in the Killeen Independent School District. And then she was in Missouri for a number of years and then moved back to Texas and has been with Anahuac. And the Anahuac ISD is a high school biology teacher. So including in her teaching skill set, not only biology, but science and ag science teaching. So she's got a good wide amount of experience, not only in what we're going to ask her to do with some STEM education, but also with the 4-H program, with our livestock program here in Jefferson County. We've kind of dipped in terms of numbers with 4-H enrollment, and partly it's because we've had some disasters over the years, and we've had COVID, and we've been dealing with a lot of those kind of issues. And so I'm confident that Rebecca will begin to build our program back up, also, obviously with our team here in Jefferson County. And so it's certainly a pleasure to be here to introduce her. We plan on her beginning her extension career on January the 9th, which she'll be in the office, and then we will send her to College Station to get indoctrinated with AgriLife Extension, with Discover Extension for 4 days, and we pick up that portion of that travel there to get her a good 35,000 foot view of the agency and their expectations. So we're glad to have her on board, and we certainly appreciate y'all's support as well.
Well, thank you. We got a little bit ahead of myself, and we approved her appointment. I take it nobody wants to take that back. Well, Ms. Carpenter, I'm certainly glad that you came to your senses and moved back to Texas from Missouri. Would you like to say anything?
I'm just excited. Can't wait. I'm ready to make this transition.
Well, we wish you the best of luck. I think you'll find the youth of our area to be interesting and to work with, and we look forward to your continuing Starla's legacy of service to our community.
Judge, I'd say one more thing too, and it's kind of the process. You call, you know, some folks that you know that have interactions with the candidate, kind of a reference check, and one of her former supervisors and employers said, hire her. And when they say that, you know, and working with youth, that's a good sign, and so we're glad to have her.
Great. Thank you. Well, thank you so much, Mr. Zimmerman. All right, Patrick, you wanted to discuss the ARPA funding next step?
Yeah, just real quick. You have a
summary sheet or just a cover memo on the recommended next steps. A lot of what we're going to do in December, and to give you an update, I've gotten some of your rankings, but to by the end of December get most everybody's rankings. You are going to get some additional information after court today with some of the clarification on those entities that had multiple projects. Some of the water entities had multiple projects for them to prioritize. You know, I think that's what y'all asked them to do, was for them to set a priority on. And you'll get that packet today. And then, as you see on bullet point four, by January 2023, we'll have a workshop to come down to a final prioritization of projects. We'll, once we get that, we'll send off to Tidal Basin, the project manager, and we'll get those compiled, and they'll double check them for eligibility. And then hopefully by February, we'll have a final list that fits within our budget, because right now we're oversubscribed about $31 million in request over what we have in funds. And then behind that, just a general information points that Tidal Basin pushed out on the deadlines. I think you've heard some of these before. We have to award and obligate the projects by December 31st of 2024. You have to have the project completed and fully, you have to be completed and all the funds fully expended by December 31st of 2026. I'm not going to go through the rest of these, but basically still tied to COVID and the impacts that COVID had, and then working within some of the other restrictions as far as the water projects. You know, they have something, you know, Clean Water Act and things like that. So that's a quick update, just to let you know where we are, because we have had some potential grantees asking for what's the status. So we just say we haven't made a final decision yet.
Yeah. So I think I had a conversation the other night with Mr. Erickson, who will join the court in January. He expressed some, and I hope I'm not talking out of turn, expressed some interest in potentially having a workshop to hear presentations from requestors.
Yeah, and put them on the list to send us some information.
Maybe we can narrow the scope of that by looking at the rankings. If they fall in together where we have a top, a middle, and a no, then we'll know who to schedule then. But, I mean, he hasn't even been sworn in, and he's already causing trouble. So,
I agree with that.
We'll look at the potential for that maybe late January. After you've gotten all the rankings, had the opportunity to look at those and maybe report back to the court on whether there's any new information that any of the commissioners need to look at that's come in since we initially ranked the projects.
All right.
I do know some people are excited that they're getting questions, that somebody's looking at it. So.
All right.
Well, you're going to get another packet, but it'll have pictures in it. So I think that was one of the things we requested, is some of the status of some of the buildings. So.
Very good. Anything else? Anything else, Mr. Twain?
No, that's it.
Thank you so much. If there's nothing else, then we'll move to our agenda items under purchasing. Item A is to execute, receive, and file a renewal for a term contract catalog pricing for janitorial supplies for Jefferson County for a fourth one-year renewal with the Home Depot Pro, Interboro Packaging Corp., Unipack Corp., Certified Laboratories, Sanitary Supply, ICS, Gel Supplies, Inc., AutoClore Services, LLC, and Matera Paper from November 15, 2022 to November 14, 2023. Item B is to consider and possibly approve the purchase of Arctic Bulk cybersecurity software from CDWG in the amount of $61,936.17 in accordance with the Omnia Tech Solution Product Services contract. Item C is to consider and approve, execute, receive, and file with Arctic Wolf in Jefferson County for management of the cybersecurity solutions, which is including in the software purchase price in accordance with the services contract. Item D is to consider and approve execute, receive, and file a professional services agreement with QED Airport and Aviation Consultants for an independent fee estimate for on-site resident project representative services for Taxiway A rehabilitation for a lump sum amount of $6,770. It's 100% funded by the Federal Aviation Administration AIP grant number 39 and 40. Pursuant to Chapter 262 of the Texas Local Government Code, the County Purchasing Act, and the Code of Federal Regulations, Chapter 2, Sections 200.318 through 326. Do I have a motion on those items under purchasing?
So moved.
Moved second. By Commissioner Senegal, seconded by Commissioner Pierce. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. Under County Auditor, item A is consider and approve electronic disbursement for $1,249.64 to the Texas Department of Criminal Justice for insurance reimbursements. Item B is consider, approve, and ratify electronic disbursement for $1,353,277.03 to Tender Loving Care Center, DBA Legacy Community Development, for payment of claims. Item C is regular county bills, check numbers 501336 through 501467. We've covered item D. Item E is to receive and file an update regarding the American Rescue Plan, which we've done. And via addendum, item F is consider and approve expenditure for Justice of the Peace Precinct 2 in accordance with order pursuant to 130.908 of the Texas Local Government Code, for the purchase of toner for a printer in the amount of $505.49. Do I have a motion on those items under auditor?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. Under County Commissioners, item A is consider and approve the reappointment of Brent Weldy, Place 2, John Johnson, Place 3, as Commissioners for the Jefferson County Emergency Services District Number 3. For new terms, which will expire on December 31st, 2022, pursuant to Texas Health and Safety Code Section 775.034B, these are appointments by Commissioner Pierce. Item C is to consider and possibly approve the reappointment of John Schauberger to serve on the Board of the Southeast Texas Government Employees Benefits Pool. And item D by addendum is to receive and file an executed right of entry for access to property for the Department of Energy LE2 project. Do I have a motion on those items under commission?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? My only question is the map of the area that we gave this right of entry to appears to be to the north of the Intercoastal Waterway. I mean, have we confirmed that we actually own that property?
Yeah, it's actually south of the Intercoastal. That map was really bad.
It's horrible.
I had people look up the ID number on that piece of property, and it's actually south of the Intercoastal. It's actually south of the Intercoastal. It's not right on the Intercoastal. There's another piece of private property, but it's ours.
Okay. Well, you recall that no, you don't recall because you weren't here, but probably 4 or 5 years ago, there were two tracts that I think totaled about 287 acres that we actually sold. We had used it originally at the mitigation bank, and we used up all the mitigation on it and sold it to U.S. Fish and Wildlife. So let's make sure that that's not tracks that we sold to them, because I wasn't aware of any other tracks we owned. So maybe if you could just check into that.
I will check
that
into
way
that.
If we find a problem, we'll okay.
Okay, I'll get you the map that that Pepe had drawn up for us.
Yeah, so. I apologize for not bringing that to your attention before court. But,
no, that's okay.
Let's look at that. All right. Did I already get a motion?
You got the motion, but not the vote.
Okay. All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. And that completes our regular agenda item. Is there any matter that any member of the court or any elected official reaches to bring to the attention of the public without our taking action? We'll now have a time of public comment on items that are on the agenda. If there are any individual either present in court or online that wishes to make public comment, if you're online, you'll need to press star 6 to unmute your line. All right, hearing no comment, we'll close this time of public comment. I think it's our intention. We will have court on next Tuesday, December 13th at our regular time, 10:30 in the morning. I think we've also got a workshop scheduled on that day. Is that correct, Annette? And then we will have court on December 20th. We will not be meeting on December 27th. So I hope everybody enjoys their holidays, and I thank each of you for being here today. And nothing further than we are adjourned. Good job.